We're going to continue on with our series on healing the home. We've looked at the idea of blessing the father of the home, blessing the mother of the home. And so tonight I want to consider the thought of blessing the children of the home. And in the family relationship, we each need to seek to be a blessing to each other. We recognize any family relationship where we're just kind of taking all the time and not giving anything back, that's not a healthy relationship. And so we've considered that, of how that we're supposed to be a blessing to father and mother of the home, many different ways. Show that we honor and appreciate them. But we want to understand this idea of being a blessing to each other just holds just as true for the parents to the children as it does for the children to their parents. And so we want to consider that. Oh, the sheets are upstairs. Lisa, if you want to grab them. Yeah, I wasn't able to get them down. And so the Bible gives us various do's and don'ts when it comes to blessing our children. And so the greater the blessing we are to them, the greater blessing they will be to us. And so we want to consider that this evening. Just getting the sheets passed out. And so, there's things we should do, things we should not do, positives and negatives. And so, for tonight, we're going to focus on the negative first. So we want to consider first what not to do to bless your children. That these are negative things, that if these are things that you have been doing and you stop doing, that'll be a blessing. But they're things that just we realize these are not going to be a help to them. And so the first one, and one is that's big, we recognize how big it is, it's laid out very plainly in two passages in the scripture. And there's a significance, right, that I know S.M. Davis points out that in the Bible there's positive commands and negative commands. And they're both important, but a lot of emphasis is given to the negative commands. That there's things that we should do, but there's definitely things we should not do. And so when it comes to children, the big thing is that we're not supposed to provoke them to wrath. That we see that, specifically speaking to fathers, that we're not to provoke children to wrath, but we can understand it applies the same to mothers. And we see in Colossians 3:21 that we're not to provoke them to anger or wrath. And it says, lest they be discouraged. Because you understand that children have a desire generally to want to please their parents, to bring a smile to their face and other things. And if they get discouraged, if what we do cause them to give up on that, then it's going to lead to them not being in a good place. And very likely it's going to lead them to rebellion. And so that's not what we want. And so we want to consider ways in which we can provoke our children to wrath. And so these are some specific things that we can, I think, clearly see from the scriptures. So first off, we can provoke our children to wrath by being wrathful ourselves. James 1:19-20 says, every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Any good that we're trying to do, if we're responding in anger to our children, that's going to be wiped out. As well, we consider what it says in Proverbs 15, verse 1, where it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so, and I think all of us have experienced that when someone raises their voice and we react to that, and we raise our voice ourselves, we start escalating it. That never happened that never goes well. There needs to be someone that's the adult in the room that can calm themselves down and respond in a proper way. And so we want to be able to do that. And so we don't want to be wrathful ourselves. We've talked about this already and just the devastating effect of anger in the home, and we want to gain freedom from that. As well, we can provoke our children to wrath by being overly critical or overly demanding. That if we're failing to praise them and just always pointing out what they're doing wrong, or we have expectations that are entirely unreasonable, then that's just going to frustrate them, discourage them. They just think, well, parents never see the good that I do. I can never measure up to their standards. I'm just always going to be a disappointment to them. So they'll get to a point where it just doesn't work. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to be praising them, encouraging them when they're doing right. It says Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, without which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearer. That, but we're not to tear down with our words, we're always to build up. We are to be challenging them, yes, but we're always to be trying to help them and encourage them. Thirdly, and this kind of relates to the second, is we can provoke our children to wrath by comparing them to others. It talks about in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that we're not to be comparing ourselves among ourselves, because to do so is not wise. That this can occur between different siblings in the home. This can occur with comparing them to other people that you might know, whether it's friends, family members, neighbors, other church families, other things. But if we say something like, well, why can't you be just like this person or more like this person? And we want to understand each of them are individuals. They're not supposed to be that person. They're supposed to be themselves. They need to become more like Jesus, and that's really the goal that we should have for them. But we don't want to do that to them. That we want to be happy for who they are. We want to help them where they're at. And sorry, I can't read what that says. Okay. Is that better? Okay. All right. So we don't want to be doing that where we compare each other better than others. We just be thankful for who they are, help them where they're at, and just seek to encourage them to grow and to develop. Fourthly, a way in which we can provoke our children to wrath is by correcting them in public. Talks about Matthew 18, verse 15. If you have something between you and a brother, you go to them alone and you resolve it. And it's a principle where you don't go and just publicly embarrass and humiliate and denounce someone in front of everyone else, right? That there's things that need to happen, and there is, of course, when someone does wrong, there is definitely a shame that comes with that, and making it an open shame and embarrassment to them is not necessary. It's not right. And we certainly wouldn't like that. And so in the same way, we need to have that right attitude and not do that to our children. We can provoke children to wrath by not listening to them. Proverbs 18:13, it says, he that answers the matter before he heareth it is falling in shame unto him. And its thing is that we need to, and there's a dispute, we need to hear both sides of the story, we need to see what's going on, we don't want to make assumptions, assume that we understand that our children and we know what their issue is, because sometimes we haven't taken the time to really know them as we should. And so we want to learn to listen. And we've talked about that already, the importance of communication, that we think communicating is us being able to talk and explain what we want and our feelings and everything else. But really, the key part of communication that we struggle with and that we need to learn to grow in is listening. If we're good listeners, that'll go a long way in strengthening our relationship. We provoke children to wrath by not keeping our promises. That Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, he says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. But it's kind of the principle that you make a promise, you keep the promise. If you're not going to be able to keep the promise, don't make the promise in the first place. That we want to them to know that they can trust us, know that they can count on us. And certainly there's going to be times where things happen. I think they'll understand that. But it's something where our word needs to be our bond. It talks about in Psalms of how it says that that we're someone that is accepted in God's presence is one who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. And so it's we want to have that just kind of a commitment. If we promise to be there at a certain time, that we're there. If we promise to be doing something, that we fulfill that as much as possible. And so we value that because the Lord keeps his promises to us, and so we need to follow his example that he gives us. But then as well, provoking wrath, and this is something that probably is one of the biggest things that can provoke children to wrath, is by showing favoritism. That we're not to have respect of persons. Really that you see the problem that favoritism had in different families. You think of situation with Isaac and Rebecca, and how they each had, they only had two sons, each of them had their favorite, and just the mess that led to. We see as well with Jacob, him having Joseph as a favorite, and the envy that provoked. We see even with David and others that had many wives, many children from these different wives, and they had their favorites, and usually it ended up where somebody didn't get dealt with as they should have been dealt with, and that just led to further problems. And so you want to treat everyone rightly, that we don't show preferential treatment, and try to be fair in all that we're doing. So those are things about provoking them to wrath, and it is things that we want to instead provoke them to good works, to righteousness, to growth, but we don't want to be getting them to a point of just getting frustrated, because that puts them in a very bad place. Then, as well, a couple other thoughts. What not to do to bless children is we should not neglect to give them the necessary direction and correction in life. That we see that rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to themselves bringeth his mother to shame. It's Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive far from it. And it's a sense that children are young, they don't know the way in which they should go, they need someone to guide them, they need someone to give them direction, they need someone to tell them, whoa, stop, don't do that, that's going to be hurtful to you and to others. They're not going to learn those things themselves, they're going to hurt themselves and others a lot if they're just left to themselves. And so that's the thing, if we want to bless them, we need to be there and be directing them and helping them to follow the right path. But thirdly, some that, in terms of what not to do, bless your children, is to fail to break family curses. We see how it talks about in Psalm 78 that there's this charge given by God to teach the next generation, set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. In verse 8 it says, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And we understand that the past generations at times had abandoned God and not walked in his ways and suffered great consequences. And so the whole idea is that you try to help the next generation not repeat the mistakes of the previous generations. And we want to understand is that sometimes, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, sin brings curses into our life. And there are consequences of our sin. And a lot of times what happens in a family, because of course children look up to their parents, they tend to the example that is given, good or bad, is passed down, and it can be hard to break. And what happens as things go along is if nothing's done, usually it gets worse and worse. We think of the example of favoritism in really, and you can think of it, this is actually a study to do on your own, is looking at the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they did many good things and passed down some good things to the next generation, but we also want to identify that there's some bad things that they passed down from generation to generation, and it got to be very serious. And so favoritism was one. We think of what happened with Abraham, that he had Ishmael from Hagar, which he never, that was a lapse in faith, that never should have happened. But then, of course, had the child of promise, Isaac, and there was animosity between Isaac and Ishmael, and we recognize that even today there is animosity between the two. We think with Isaac and Jacob, they kind of followed that pattern, two different sons, and they had their favorites that transferred with Jacob to Joseph, and it just, it led to a lot of problems. We think as well, you have different things of deceitfulness, that Abraham, he went different places and he told people, well, you're real beautiful, Sarah, so I'm worried people might kill me for you, so you tell them that I'm your, not your husband, I'm your brother. And then we'll get out of that. And so it was kind of a half-truth because he was his half-sister, but that wasn't right. And it led to a lot of trouble. And but we see it got worse. Next generation, Isaac, made much the same lie. They got in trouble again. And then we see with Jacob, and with his uncle Laban, and just all the deceit that they had between each other, whether the whole family's lying to each other, and just the mess that that made. And so we see different things like that, that these are curses that are passing down. It's getting worse with each generation that happens. And so it's the idea is that if you know this, if you've suffered from this, that maybe it could be something like, say, it could be alcoholism, or it could be anger, or it could be any number of things, but you think this has been part of our family for generations, and we need to say, okay, I know the harm this has caused. I should not just allow this to pass down to the next generation. I need to break this curse. I need to get the help I need so that I don't persist in this. So I set the example so the kids do not repeat the mistakes of the generations past. And so that's the thing, is that we, if we want to bless our children, we need to free our family from these curses of previous generations that have come because of sin. That we, God can give us victory, We don't have to repeat the sins of our parents or grandparents. We can learn from their mistakes and move forward. Alright, so now I want to get into the positive, what we can do positively to bless our children. And so, first off, it's the thought of being involved in their lives. We see with Job that it talks, he talks about, he remembered before his time of great trial that his children were about him. And so it gives the idea that they were together. They were part of each other's lives, that they were invested in each other. We think of Malachi 4 verse 6, the whole idea that Spirit Elijah would come and would turn the heart of the fathers to the children, heart of the children to the fathers. And that's the thing, is that we need to make time and be involved in our lives. It isn't something where we can afford to be absentee parents and not have any involvement. We need to do what we can to be as much a part of our lives as we can. But that's what we need to make them the priority. And they need to know that they are the priority. We see as well, it talks about Ephesians 6 verse 4, says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we're to nurture our children. Nurture has the idea, you can think of it this way, if you're trying to grow something in a garden or in an orchard, say if it's some kind of plant, say you're trying to grow tomatoes or peppers or watermelons or pumpkins or something, right? That what's necessary is you take some time to really look after them, right? That you kind of make sure they're watered, make sure weeds are pulled away, the ground around them is tilled up, and maybe give them some Miracle Grow or something. And the whole idea of it is you're trying to put them in the best position possible to thrive. You want them to grow, you want them to develop, you want them to be fruitful. And so that's the idea of nurturing. You want to work with them and provide what's necessary for them to flourish as individuals. You want to seek to meet their physical needs, their emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. And so that's really kind of thinking about it with children, is because that's sometimes it's sort of, well, as long as they're fed and watered, that's it. But there's a lot of other things that they need too, in terms of emotional support, guidance through life, socialization, other things that you want to help them to grow. Secondly, it's the idea of to admonish them, or to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to admonish is the idea of if someone's going the wrong way, that you help them get back in the right way. And it's not something that is like a harshness to it. Instead, it's really a gentle reproof, where you're... you can just think of it with a child, where they're doing something or thinking of doing something that, you know, is not a good idea, that you just tell them, okay, that's not a good idea, that's not the path you want to take. This is the way in which you should walk. And so, thank you, Kirsten. And so that's the idea of to nurture and admonish. That you can kind of think one is more positive, the other is more negative, but they're both necessary, both valuable in a child's life. As well, if you want to bless your children, you want to teach them to love, honor, and fear God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. These commands which I give thee today shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children when thou walkest by the way, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It's day through the day, bit by bit, we're to teach our children about God. We want to teach them to love God, We want to teach them to fear God. We want to teach them to serve God. That His commands are not suggestions, that they need to be followed, that God loves them and they need to love God back, and just learn, know that He's real, know that He's there for them, and that they can rely upon Him. And so that's what we want to instill in them, just that they know who God is, and they know that they can approach Him, and that they'll want to approach Him. As well, blessed children, want to train them up in the way they should go. Genesis chapter, or Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, is stamped that child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That it's the sense is that all of us tend to wander out of the way. We've looked already at the idea of foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and that foolishness can be their destruction. And so we want to understand there's a path that they should follow, that there's a way in which they should walk, a way in which they should behave and conduct themselves, a way they should treat other people. And so we want to train them in that way. And that takes time, it takes effort, but it's necessary. We see what it says of Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 19. It says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And so we see that he was command his children so they would keep the way of the Lord. And so there is a way of the Lord. It's doing justice and judgment, treating our fellow man right. And so it's day by day where when they have interactions, we help them and say, okay, this was the right thing to do. This is not the right way. We show them what the path is. That it's a sad thing. I remember talking to someone. I was working with youth, and just saying that nowadays that so many of them, they come and they're just completely lost. They don't know just what to do in life, where to go, how to find any kind of wisdom or direction or purpose. And we're to give them that. We're to show them that, yes, they have purpose. We want to show them what they're supposed to be doing with their life. Show them how to deal with different issues, and that's kind of the thing. Is a lot of times what we need to be doing is preparing them, helping them to see, okay, there's going to be certain things, certain troubles that happen, and you're going to tend to react to them negatively and in a way that's not good, but this is the right way to respond. We think of that of how we've looked at it with RU, with fruit of the Spirit, work of the flesh, that we don't want to react in frustration when circumstances don't go our way. We want to have joy. We don't want to be full of anxiety. We instead want to learn to pray and give our worries to God and instead have His peace. We want to learn not to be quick-tempered, but instead to be long-suffering. Not to be harsh, but instead to be gentle. But these are things that we want to learn. We want to teach them and train them. And it takes time. It's an investment, but it's a necessary and valuable investment to make. As well, we bless our children by praying for them. That all of us need prayer. As parents, we need to pray for our children. We think of the example of Job, that we find of him that every morning he would go out and he would set up these altars and he would basically make sacrifices and intercede on behalf of his children, essentially be an intermediary or priest for them to God. And it was, he thought, well, maybe that they've sinned against the Lord, and he wanted to make sure that that was atoned for. And so we really want to have that, in a sense, that we don't give sacrifices now in that same way, but we do want to intercede for them and help them and just pray to God that He would work in their lives, because He can do a work in them far greater than we ever can. But then as well, and this is very important, if we want to bless our children, we want to be an example of integrity to them. Integrity is the idea of moral soundness, and the kids want to see that, and they want to be just like us, and so we want to give them an example that's worthy to follow. You see in Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." And so that's the thing. If we fear the Lord, if we delight in God's commands, then our seed and the generation that comes from us will be blessed. And so we can be thankful for that truth and recognize the blessings that come by serving the Lord. See Proverbs 20 and verse 7. It says, "A just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." And so we want our children to be blessed, and so that means we need to walk in integrity. Their children are watching us, and so we need to be giving them the example that we need to. And so those are just some basic thoughts. And so consider this from Psalm 123. It says, "Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man who hath his quiver before them. He shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And so this passage shows us that children are a blessing from God. And they're given by God for a purpose. God can use them to accomplish great things and bring great blessing. And so, because children are a blessing from God, we need to cherish them as such. And so, it's a thought that as parents, that they're the most valuable thing in our lives. And so we need to invest our lives in the lives of our children. As we do so, we become a blessing to them, and they in turn become a greater blessing to us. And so may the Lord help us all, that our parents, or that are working with children, that we can do these things to be a blessing to them. All right, so that's the lesson for tonight. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Father, we just thank you for this time, and we just pray you would help us, Lord, to seek to be a blessing to one another, not to be self-focused, not to be just takers and not givers. Just help us to look and see ways in which we can be a blessing to others, and just be guided and strengthened by you to do what we can for the people around us, in our family and in those around us as well. Just bless us, Lord, and guide us in this week to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.